Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine.
Hi, Andy.
I was speaking, Joe. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Terrific.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds like you guys are in an AA meeting.
Nice Memorial Day.
Hi, Andy. Nice to see you.
Hi, Andy Cohen. And...
Hi, I'm Andy, and I do this radio show. How's everybody doing today? Kathy Houston, how was your long weekend? We need to get your microphone on or something like that. Kathy wishes her weekend was longer.
Yes.
Oh, there now we hear you. All right. Excellent. Did you have the pool open?
Of course.
And how about the beer taps?
Of course.
Oh, well, it was a good weekend. All right, Michelle Bell, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Yeah? Good weekend?
I was in Avalon, the sunny place for shady people.
The sunny place for shady people. I think more of us need to spend more time there.
Did you have any dirty bananas?
No, our friend Mina is all about the dirty bananas.
Okay, let's keep it clean. Keep it a little bit clean. Okay, and we have our friend Larry Bassinet here, the head of ASI Research. How are you today, Larry?
I've never been better.
Never
really?
Been
wow.
better.
Wow.
You are pathetic.
Your bad days must be epic. Wow. If this is your good day.
We are ready to hit the ground running here, aren't we, Joe?
We are, Andy. We are.
We are going to be discussing tips for shaving your operating costs. So if you have any questions...
Oh, I thought it was shaving tips.
We'll give you those, too, if you have questions about that. Well, I don't know how good we'll be at giving advice on it, but as far as shaving your operating costs, we will give you tips on that. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979 to discuss that and any other topic on your mind. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, when I'm done, you can get back to introducing the rest of the people in the room.
Oh, there were way too many of them. I just couldn't hack it.
All right. We have had a prospect for new customers, 5 tips for working with millennials, why you don't want to be the lowest cost leader, the low-cost leader. We talk about that quite often. We have we have a look at top small business mistakes and how to avoid them. We have our favorite things. Also, if you call in, we'll give you the ASI Radio prize pack, which includes a $25 Visa gift card, a set of ASI Radio host finger puppets, and, of course, a Joe Show mouse pad. We're going to do mouse pads this week.
We are going to do a Joe Show mouse pad in addition to finger puppets and, of course, the gift card.
Let's have the news first,
Andy.
Don't
forget to give us a ring. I will go. Thank you, Joe.
All right.
We begin this morning with news of an exclusive ASI survey. According to new research released today, Dallas is the best city in the U.S. for ad specialty sales. The survey details the best and worst cities for promo product sales today. Rounding out the top 5 are Greensboro, North Carolina, Stamford, Connecticut, Columbia, South Carolina, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Go to www.counselormag.com today to see the complete rankings. On to top 40 financial news now. Staples Promotional Products, the largest distributor in the industry, said it increased its sales by mid-single digits in Q1 of 2013. The company said it is expecting even stronger growth throughout the final 3 quarters of the year. On to more top 40 news now. Norwood Promotional Products, Red Wing, Minnesota facility was the home of a scary situation last week when one of its employees was arrested and charged with stalking and making terrorist threats. A 21-year-old employee had threatened to, quote, blow this place up and kill coworkers. Check out Promogram today for details. Industry personnel news now. I'm not sure what could possibly be funny about that, Michelle. Industry personnel news now. Supplier firm Senator Worldwide, parent company of Senator USA, has named Michael Nick to the German-based company's supervisory board as chairman. In addition to taking on a new role, Nick will continue his current responsibilities until another managing director is appointed. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
Andy, we have a USB flash drive that looks like a light bulb that lights up when you plug it into a USB port. That's also a key ring.
Wow.
By the way, that wasn't amusement. It was shock on Kathy and my part. We did not hear that
right.
before.
So quite a story, huh?
Stunned.
Yeah.
I saw that online over the weekend, and pretty crazy. Yeah, so Norwood's investigating. All right. Now we are going to go to the phone to bring in our friend Leighton Lee of ETS Express to give us our product safety minute of the day. Leighton, how are you today?
Oh, great. Hope everybody had a great weekend and got some rest. I'm sure everybody's pretty much tired, huh?
We had a great weekend. I'm not sure about the amount of rest, but how was your weekend?
I'm fine. A little tired today. My wife and I played 2 rounds of golf yesterday, so we're a little beat up.
Wow.
All right, well, you'll have to take it easy. After you're done with the product safety minute, you can take the rest of the day off.
Thank you. Yes, please tell my bosses that.
No doubt.
Anyway, today's product safety minute is about CPSC enforcement. There's a real trend going on I don't know if you can call two major incidents a trend so far, but we think that it's going to continue. Recently, two major companies were fined substantial amounts of money for failing to report hazards and defects in their product. One company called Colecraft, that makes outdoor children's play yards, was fined $400,000. And Williams-Sonoma was fined almost $1 million for failing to report hazards and defects in outdoor hammock stands. Now, the fines aren't that alarm-causing to me so much as it is as the CPSC has recently, in addition to the fines and penalties, imposed that both companies implement very, very, very stringent internal compliance programs. There are a number of conditions in this compliance program, but they have to implement very stringent policies and procedures, train and communicate and train to all their employees, and provide board oversight over these the new policies and procedures. So this is unprecedented. The commission has never done this before, but I see, and others in the industry see, a trend happening, and even some of the commissioners have already said off the record that this is going to continue. So it impacts us as an industry, that we as suppliers and distributors, once we know that there is a defect in a product or a substantial product hazard or a violation of a rule, we must immediately report that hazard or defect to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Now, I urge all of you that face this issue to consult appropriate legal counsel before jumping the gun to make that report. That report must be immediate, but you have a little bit of time in order to do your research and your due diligence before you make that report. So I just wanted to bring this to everyone's attention this morning, because there is an alarming trend that seems to be in formation, so to speak, at the commission, and we need to be aware of that. So that's my product safety minute. I'm going to go back to bed now.
Thank you. All right, Leighton, thank you very much for calling in, and enjoy the rest of the day off.
Oh, my God, can my little suppliers be under any more pressure? It's so onerous on them.
You know, it is. Your little suppliers. I love the term. It is a problem, though. I mean, they and not just suppliers. Distributors need to be aware as well of exactly the types of things that they need to report, you know, because you hear about something that went wrong with a water bottle or a mug or a children's product. These are things that then you need to be on top of. You know, distributors think that they're just sellers of products, but when they supply products to end users, to clients and then end users, mm-hmm. they can be termed manufacturers because they supplied the product. So they're liable in certain instances as well. So it is something that people should be aware of.
Yeah, we see in the SOI coming up, not a lot of interest in it.
No,
nobody's
I know.
Paying attention.
We struggle with it here as well, you know, on the show and through people we talk to at you know, education sessions and everything.
I'm doing one in Chicago, a panel discussion on product safety, and no one wants to hear it because it's not a sexy topic. It's like fifth period algebra. No one wants to hear product safety, you know.
Wow, let's move on from fifth period algebra. All right, we're going to take your calls now on how to reduce operating costs. We have some callers on the line, but if you have any questions, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. Our buddy Vin Driscoll is going to take your call, and we'll get you on the show, and as Joe said, we will give you the prize back. All right, on line three, we have Judy. Judy, how are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your question for the host?
Well, I'm actually just starting out as a brand-new distributor, and actually ASI New York was my first show. And I wanted to be smart with my financial resources, so what are some necessities that I definitely need as a new distributor?
Joe, you're pointing to me. Well, I would say I'm not what you need is sort of almost opposite from what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of what you don't need as far as when you're cutting operating costs.
Okay.
You don't need an office. If you are a new distributor, I would suggest, you know, working out of your house or someplace that's essentially free for a while until you know that generally we try to say that you want to have a good 3 months worth of operating costs in the bank if you're going to move into an office. So there's, you know, so you need to have some cash flow on hand. I would say the biggest thing you want to do as a new distributor is to protect your cash flow as closely as possible. So that means just not buying things that could be frivolous and not spending before you're prepared to spend or before you're seeing revenue. I would say just hold off on big expenses, certainly, until you know that there's revenue to cover that.
Okay.
Anybody else? Anybody?
I would say that it's not necessary to have people on staff. You can get away with a lot of doing things online, using interns, especially with the summer with people out of school.
Yeah. Sure.
And people, too, who have retired. I mean, that's a really good talent base to use.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I'm going to weigh in on some SOI, State of the Industry, data on that, too, and I'll sound a bit like a commercial here, but I'm looking at a table that says 75% of distributors, even the smaller ones, have electronic research services like ESP or some of our competitors. So I don't want to sound like a commercial, but that is what they're telling me.
Yeah.
And I think you're putting yourself at a disadvantage if you don't have one of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're going to have to, you know, whittle down your list of suppliers too and stick with some favorites after a while so that you get discount pricing and all that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There you go. All right, Judy. Well,
great.
Thanks for the call.
Thank
and hang
you.
On the line so we can get your information for your Visa gift card. Okay, on line four, we have Stanley. Stanley, how are you today?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Stanley.
Good. How's everything going in California?
Well, going really good. Nice and sunny, and in four or five days, I'll be leaving for that bike ride. So I'll be thinking about you guys next week while I'm riding 550 miles back to Los Angeles.
You know what? We'll be thinking of you while we're not doing that.
Exactly.
All right, well, Stanley, what's your question?
Well, yeah, I got the question I have is when it comes to reducing costs, what would you say are the things you should absolutely not? Like, I was listening to that last young lady who was saying, you know, about electronic services. I mean, that's one of the things I would never reduce because the amount of work you'd have to do without it wouldn't be worth what you're spending with it. But are there any costs that you see in our industry that we're, like, with Leighton Lee's safety minute, we choose suppliers that absolutely have great product liability because that's actually reducing our cost and reducing our exposure. Are there any things that you know, we're not thinking of that are creeping up behind that are a big, you know, waste of money?
Well, I would say you probably just need an evaluation of your company's everyday costs. So, you know, if you're in an office, which I believe, Stanley, you are, you know, what's the overhead? What's the monthly overhead? And what could be done to reduce some of that cost? You know, we had some people write in our Facebook page about, you know, the reducing of phone costs and electric costs. You know, there's certainly ways to reduce those these days. And when you can get the fixed costs down, that's really what fixes your cash flow a little bit. Go ahead, Michelle.
I remember one supplier told me that he paid to have an energy efficiency consultant come in, and for what it cost and what he saved, it was amazing because the consultant was able to tell him ways to cut down on his energy costs, and it was you know, quite measurable what he was able to save.
Yeah, so I would look at that, and then I would, from the other side, as we've talked about on this show, you know, it's not necessarily reducing costs, but it is helping cash flow, which is ultimately the point of reducing costs. You know, trying to increase profitability, trying to look at every order and analyze what the profitability is from every customer, and look at ways that you could increase that. Go ahead, Michelle.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
Thanks for calling, Stanley.
I thought you were adding to that. Sorry. All right, Stanley, we're going to let you go, but we're going to move on. Thanks for the call. Michelle, go ahead.
I was going to read a Facebook comment from Mark Shin, who says, something as simple as using his AAA membership saves him hundreds of dollars a year in hotel costs.
It's a good point. You know, I don't know that people look at things like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like some of those credit cards where you get your air mileage, you know, and then you get your reward points, you know, use them in your business when you have to. One of the things I would say to get rid of, if you have one in your office or you're paying for it, is a fax machine. I mean, outdated is a fax machine? You really don't need it. Most copying machines now are going to make a PDF of a file you can send to someone, and you can actually take a picture with your iPhone and send someone a document if you had that.
We still have a fax machine.
We do. How often do we use it?
How often do
things come in? Yeah, it's not needed anymore, so...
But some people still work with it. I mean, I agree it's not needed, and I would agree with that statement.
Right.
But there are many suppliers that accept orders by fax and distributors who use them.
You'd be when last time Larry did a survey for me for SGR, I was shocked at how many suppliers still get orders.
They do
via fax,
I know.
Something
it's
like 30%.
Much bigger than you would think.
I think it, And it might be a generational thing. It might be some older distributors in the industry are still using it. I don't know. You know, people are stuck in their ways of doing things. Most people have graduated to an iPhone. Some people still hold on to their to their BlackBerry, you know, and will go kicking and screaming when that, you know, piece of apparatus is no longer of use.
I heart you, BlackBerry.
Piece of apparatus. Okay. All right. We're going to go to line one where we have Sharon. Sharon, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
What's your question for the host?
Well, I have some tips. I've been a distributor in the industry for 22 years. And one of the things that we've always done is we bill everything net 10 and we expect net 30, so it keeps our cash flow going. And some of our customers do pay net 10. But it's a way to get past some of those people that try to extend paying out to 60 days and, you know, so forth. So that helps.
I like
quite
that.
A bit.
Has that worked for you guys? And is that something that you added on as a procedure at a certain point, or did you start from the beginning like that?
No, from the beginning we build everything net 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we have customers that do pay net 10. Some will extend out to net 30, but it tends to get you on the top of the pile when you put it net 10 in, so they take it a little more seriously than if you make it net 30.
I like it. Okay, what other tip do you have?
Well, the other tip that I have may or may not work for all distributors, but we have always run our business through a credit union, and we avoid a lot of bank fees that way.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They've been able to take care, you know, of all of our needs as far as everything we needed, except for the paying of the federal income taxes. So we do have a little money market account in a local bank for that. But other than that, we found the credit union to be less fee intensive and very helpful, you know, for our business.
That's an interesting point. I have heard of other distributors doing that as well, and they feel like there's a little bit more personal service, not just fewer fees, but also more service that they can get from a credit union than a bigger bank.
Right.
All right, Sharon, well, thanks very much for the call and the tips, and hang on the line so Vinny can get your information for your prize pack of the day.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we're going to pause to hear from our show sponsor, AIA, but when we get back, Larry is going to give us a preview of the State of the Industry Report.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324, or www.aiacommunity.com.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show, where we were just talking about how to reduce costs on your operating expenses. If you have any further questions or comments on that topic, or really anything on your mind, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. All right, Larry Bassinet, you are on the hot seat right now. What is on your state of the industry mind today?
I'm in a state of the industry kind of mind right now. Andy, thank you for asking. Picking up where we were last week.
Are you high?
And Andy's a little punchy here. He's still on vacation.
She was talking to you, sir.
Oh, I'm still on vacation, and I'm a little bit punchy. All right. One of the questions that we asked distributors is, what was the number one method they used, the most effective way to increase business among current customers?
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses amongst the hosts
right,
here?
So I asked
referrals.
Self-promotion.
Self-promotion. Kathy?
I'm with Joe.
You're in the right corner.
You're in the right corner. Right. The number one most effective way to do that is ask about upcoming events or promotional needs. So what else you have coming up this year is the biggest way, and that was cited by 44% as the most effective way to do it. Now, referrals is always important, yet it was only about 20% were saying that.
Well, that's BS.
Referrals is number one by getting new business.
Oh, okay.
Are we saying these are customers you already have?
Oh, okay.
I want to change my mind to
asking
them what else is coming up this year.
Smart. changed, Joe.
Right tied with that, showcase new product ideas from suppliers.
What?
Showcase new product ideas from suppliers is also just as important as for asking for referrals in other areas of the company.
Uh-huh. Or maybe you should just show them an episode of the Joe Show.
That was harsh. I think I want to go home now.
I like the sound effects.
Really? Wow. I've been shot.
Young.
My God.
We suddenly went to a shooting range. Okay, Larry, what else?
All right, let's talk a little bit about eco-friendly products.
Okay.
We spent a lot of time discussing this a few years ago, and now we've got 3 years worth of data to trend this. So where do you think it's going?
Down.
I think it's plateaued and heading downward.
Yeah. I think it's going up.
And you think
I think it's just holding steady.
Yeah, it's holding steady. It's not increasing at all. In fact, it could be down a tad. But what we're hearing is that there's not a lot of customers asking for it, and distributors aren't pushing it.
Which is a good thing, though, because I think that in the past, it's kind of like it's gone up, it's come back down again. All of a sudden, it makes its resurgence, and it goes back down
again. Can I just say that?
I think this has gone up as kind of, you know, evened out.
It's drastically different than overseas. Having been in a show in Europe, it's all they're all about eco there.
It's all the rage?
It's all the rage.
You know, Larry, I wonder why that is. Do you think it's sort of economic-based? Do you think that over the past few years, as clients are more conscious of price, they've been less thinking about eco-friendly items?
Whenever I've spoken to a distributor about this, they said to me, a lot of times a customer will ask about it, and then they give them the price, and it's almost always more. And they say, oh, no, just give me the cheaper stuff.
Then. Right.
It's like made in the USA, although we see that that's up a bit this past year, too, because it was an election year in 2012. But by and large, people ask, but then they don't hear what they want to hear, so they default to the cheaper.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay. What other knowledge can you drop on
us? What other knowledge do I have here? The most significant source of competition. For distributors, what do you think they say?
Guesses, Joe.
Guesses, Joe.
Online companies,
Michelle.
Online companies.
Yeah, I go with Joe. Yeah.
Michelle says ditto, and Kathy.
Other distributors.
Other local distributors. Drum roll, please.
It is, in fact, website selling promotional
products. Yeah, there you go. Website selling promotional products.
Other local distributors down to 13%, which is used to be the number one competitor, and not so anymore.
You know what? That's a price thing, too. These lead back to price and clients' need for lower price. Both of those last couple of trends.
And easy to find them, too. I mean, an internet search is pretty easy to
for
do
sure.
in your area. The thing here that's interesting, industry suppliers that sell direct, we hear so much about that one. And only 8% said that was their most significant source of competition.
Yeah, I think that's...
That's not.
That's
the same as it's been for 5 years.
Well, as a source of competition, I don't think it's
source
something.
Of irritation. It's very hot.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Right.
As a source of irritation, it's bigger, but as a source of competition, it's not something I think that they think about on a daily basis. But I do think that websites selling promotional products is something that distributors need to be concerned about because you're not going to beat them on price. You're just
It's not even that. Can I tell you why?
Yeah,
I just talked to Jerry McLaughlin the other day. He's the CEO of Branders.com. Mm-hmm. He said that because millennials are now doing a lot of buying, they are not used to doing sales face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
They are way more comfortable doing things online. Consequently, their sales are growing by double digits, as are Inkheads, by the way, which is another online-based company.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they are growing, and those are two good reasons as to why, and it's not – I don't know that those things are necessarily going to change. Obviously, the generational aspect's not. It's only going in one direction. The price thing, you can get around that. We've talked about it in many ways on this show before. But it's something to be concerned about and to watch out for. You know, your competition are not necessarily the people who are just in the office before you making a pitch and a bid to a possible client. They're – companies that are in every corner of the world, essentially, and so you need to be cognizant of that. Larry, anything else?
Just something briefly to touch on here, because it's something new that we started doing last month, and it was the Counselor Confidence Index, and this is based upon state-of-the-industry data, and it's similar to the Conference Board, which is a non-profit industry, non-partisan industry think tank that talks about how well consumers feel about the U.S. economy, so we have something for our industry. And basically what we did is we asked distributors to rate the health of the industry. And then we trended this over time because we've asked that question for a long time. We compare it to a base year so you have some idea of when you have the number, is this good, is it bad? The year we compared it to was 2001, right, which was kind of a so-so year in our industry. It wasn't particularly good. It wasn't particularly bad. And plus, it was made famous in that movie. So we went with that. And what we found out is that the confidence is 102.6, meaning a little bit better than it was then. And I think if you compare it to something recently, people's attitudes about our industry are somewhere around where they were in 2003, 2004. So that's where we go. The worst it was in the last decade here was obviously 2009. It was 79%. Everybody was pretty upset. The highest, 2007.
Gotcha. So this is the highest it's been since 2007.
It's the highest it's been, right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Very good. All right. Very important information. And you can see the whole State of the Industry issue from Counselor in the middle of July, both in print and online. Okay. We're going to pause to hear from our second show sponsor today, ASI Computer. But when we get back, Kathy will talk about how to prospect for new customers.
Get the state-of-the-art, industry-specific software that's easy to use with flexible options that fit your business. Get ASI SmartBooks. Combine all business processes into one technology platform that is created for you, designed for the advertising specialty industry, and fully integrates with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Use this customized tool to operate your business at maximum efficiency. Call 800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to get the best technology solution. Get the state-of-the-art, industry-specific software that's easy to use with flexible options that fit your business. Get ASI SmartBooks. Combine all business processes into one technology platform that is created for you.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show.
It's Double Shot Tuesday.
Where you may have heard a little bit of extra of that ad. We're sorry. Okay, Kathy.
Oh,
how do you prospect for new customers? You're our sales guru, so tell us.
Well,
what are the best ways to prospect?
Like Larry said, referrals, number one.
It wasn't. Oh, new customers.
New customers. Yep. Yes,
that's
yes.
Right.
So ideally, you want to create a list of prospects that's, you know, going to buy from you, likely to buy from you. Okay, so referrals is one of them. Networks, people you've connected with personally at, you know, trade shows, events, chamber of commerce, things, and socially online, too. So people in your networks, website visitors, because they've already shown interest in your company and what you're selling. purchased lists, those are people that have a job title that typically buys your offerings. And you have to create a qualifying script. So ask questions, open-ended questions that will get you to know whether they're likely to buy your product.
Which are,
are you likely to buy my product?
I don't know that that's exactly one of them.
It might be.
Sorry,
might
I put
be.
You on the spot there. You know, I think the point about referrals is an important one that I don't know that everybody actually takes advantage of. You sell products and you sell your services to clients. They're happy with them. Then you should be asking for referrals from any and all of those clients. And it's not something that everybody takes advantage of. So that is definitely something to heed and advice to put into play every day.
Doesn't everybody else have a big mouth? I mean, when somebody does something well for me, like one of my helpers, I tell everybody, like a plumber or a gardener or the maid or something.
Right, right. Yeah.
Wow. Michelle just gave away her secrets.
That's common, folks.
The plumber or the gardener or the maid.
Yeah. Michelle has a whole staff, I guess.
Does someone comb your eyebrows?
And here I'm changing my own oil.
On that note, we've left just enough time for Michelle's favorite things, and we're going to go start with Prada. Michelle, you go.
Mine, surprisingly, shockingly, has to do with bling. This comes from Foxyware, ASI 87605, and it is a really cool sparkly lanyard that can carry your iPhone or BlackBerry as well.
All right. Larry, I hear you have something.
I do indeed have something, and it's from Lutan, ASI supplier 67230, and it's imprinted baseballs, softballs, those types of things. So much of – and I picked this briefly because my daughter and my son are both in softball and t-ball, and everything is imprinted except these things. And I think
except the actual balls themselves.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and they use them.
Imprint your balls, everyone.
Wasn't going to go there. Somebody.
Joe, all right. Please, save us.
All right.
Save us.
This is a bag that's great for pool-themed promotions, beach-themed promotions, because it has a snap closure. It is double-sealed with Ziplocs. and it'll keep the dirt and the water out of your phone. You don't want to actually jump in a pool wearing this around your neck, but it will protect it poolside. So you can find this from Akron Rule, ASI 30270. Find them online at Akron. That's with two A's, akronline.com.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Kathy, bring up the rear.
Well, mine's from Inipac USA, ASI 62656, and it's their Hot Tropics collection of lip balms, and they come in cool flavors like loco coconut and tequila lime, and also beer and ketchup, if you're interested.
The flavors of beer and ketchup?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
So there you go.
All right. You can check out all those products online now at asicentral.com/radio. Unfortunately, we are all out of time for today, but join us again next week when we'll have more SOI, state of the industry information.
Larry's back.
Oh, yeah.